from the WBAI local station board.
Only on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming live at WBAI.org.
And you're still tuned to WBAI at 99.5 FM in New York City, online at WBAI.org. The just concluded program is Any Saturday with David Rosenberg. Coming up next is On the Count, the Prison and Criminal Justice Report, after this message. Stay tuned.
The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will take place on Sunday, April 21st at 1 p.m. The call-in number is 619-309-1058. The PIN number is 641-711. All are welcome. The Community Advisory Board gives WBAI's supporting community an opportunity to express ideas, concerns, and additional ways to keep this great station alive. Again, the next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will take place on Sunday, April 21st at 1 p.m. The call-in number is 619-309-1058, and the PIN number is 641-711. Thank you.
On the Count.
The U.S. prison system incarcerates approximately 2.3 million people, the highest number of any industrialized nation, while prisons remain one of the largest industries in the country.
Inside and out, where you at? You're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI. This radio show is called On the Count, the Prison and Criminal Legal System Reform Report. My name is Andre Ward, and as always, we're excited to be able to join you this morning, to be able to enter in through the prison gates and walls by way of the airwaves. And we ask that you, as a listener, continue to support this radio show On the Count, and by extension, this radio station, WBAI. We have an exciting show today for you. And as always, we are really grateful. And we ask that you continue to listen to this show and continue to support it through your private means, through by ways you communicate to others about the importance of this station and this show. Before we get into the show, however, I want to check in to see how the rest of the collective are doing here at On the Count. How's everybody doing this morning? Just checking in with On the Count Collective.
I'm doing well. This is Madi. I hope everyone out there is doing extremely well. I am super excited for today's show, paying homage to the best one to ever do it. So I'm really excited for the first half of our show. Harmony, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning and thank you. I'm doing well. I'm trusting that everyone, both inside and outside, especially special shout out as always to our women, Rikers Island, Crossroads Horizon, Bedford, Taconic, Abion, federal women who are behind the federal wall this morning, doing your time in a very different way. Rikers Island, we don't want to forget them, but all women and men and the young people who are doing their time inside, we shout you out this morning and lift you up as best we can. We thank you for listening to WBAI 99.5, and we continue to be excited about this opportunity to hear from some young folks on this day. Andre?
Yes, thank you for that, Harmony. And today is important and significant because, as Harmony mentioned, we're talking to younger people. And it's obviously important as we think about the voices of young people, their leadership, the way in which they are able to influence the world, that we would get them on this morning to talk about some really important issues. As it happens, this month marks what is called Second Chance Month. And for some individuals, the concept of Second Chance Month in April, it may feel inadequate or even exclusionary because it really fails to acknowledge the systemic barriers and injustices that prevented them from ever experiencing a first chance to begin with. And many people, particularly those from marginalized communities, Black and brown communities, face systemic oppression, including discrimination, poverty, and really a lack of access to education and resources. And these barriers create a cycle of disadvantage where individuals are deprived of opportunities from the outset, making the notion of second chance seem really irrelevant when they never had a fair shot to begin with. Moreover, as we think about Second Chance Month, the emphasis on second chances may inadvertently place blame on individuals for their circumstances rather than addressing the root causes of inequality and injustice. And so many arguably say, while second chances are undoubtedly valuable for those who have made mistakes or poor decisions or face setbacks, you know, it's essential to recognize and dismantle the structural inequalities that perpetuate cycles of poverty, incarceration, and ultimately marginalization. And so true justice and opportunity really requires systemic change that addresses the underlying issues of inequality and ultimately ensures that everyone has a fair an equitable first chance in life. And I wanted to share those opening thoughts around Second Chance Month because while there's some well-meaning behind that, many people feel they didn't have a first chance. So before we get into talking with our young leaders here today, we want to play a clip of a song that we thought would be apropos in talking with younger people and kind of expressing what they feel and what has impacted them in different ways. So we'll play this brief clip and then we'll get right to our guests.
Yo, brothers, respect mine. I ain't gonna take now. Bam, move from the gate now.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
22 long, hard years, I'm still struggling. Survival got me bugging, but I'm alive on arrival. I'm deep at the safe of the streets to stay awake to the ways of the world. Deep, a man with the dream, with plans to make.
No need for fame, black fathers are legendary. Watching he got game, coming from the hood, often misunderstood, but still, black fathers are necessary. Fighting the penitentiary as well as the cemetery. Only right I wrote a song made for my brothers. And whether or not you get along with your baby mothers, our babies love us, our babies need us. He just might be that black father, the baby Jesus. More precious than a stone from Sierra Leone. That's a child of a black father, the heir to the throne. Before mine and the diamond and the dirt don't come out shining, they come out muddy. Babies born bloody before the huggies and onesies. Birth
from the black essence. So it's a natural for a black father to lack presence. There to provide lessons when babies ask questions. To guide them through imperfections, doubts, and transgressions. To teach a foreign language about their ancestors. To read body language, face and hand gestures. To love their body image, hear strand textures. Learning instruments, jam sessions, and band lessons. Car seat buckle ups, teaching them boxing, uppercuts. More to manhood than muscle ups and busting nuts. More to childhood than Donald Duck and Double Dutch. Nothing can replace a father's love and mother's touch. No need for fame, black fathers are legendary. Watching he got game, coming from the hood. Often misunderstood, but still, black fathers are necessary. Fighting the penitentiary as well as the cemetery. Only right I wrote a song made for my brothers. And whether or not you get along with your baby mothers. Our babies love us, our babies need us. He just might be that black father, the baby Jesus. To mothers who stand in the way of fathers and their children. Then go say he left them abandoned like a building. That's tore up from the floor to the ceiling. Paint pillin', I ain't feeling women who find joy stealing the joy of a father. Not letting his boy see him or the joy of his daughter. Whose dad is a loyal supporter based on a court order. Filthy, you need Florida water and a bush bath. You despise his eyes, despise his mustache. Shout out to the fathers walking the good walk, good path. Every child need a father for a good talk, good laugh. Why make a good dad look bad for a child support check? If he absent with welfare at your doorstep. Had him locked, ain't feel remorse yet. Poor sweat, nightmares like a war vet, a karma catching you slipping, floors wet. Do your mom's babysit? Sadly, a nanny can't replace the daddy's place in the family. No need for fame, black fathers are legendary. Watching he got game, coming from the hood. Often misunderstood, but still, black fathers are necessary. Fighting the penitentiary as well as the cemetery. Only right I wrote a song made for my brothers. And whether or not you get along with your baby mothers. Our babies love us, our babies need us. He just might be that black father, the baby Jesus. Black fathers are legendary, let's call names. LeBron James, not cause he call plays or win ball games. Or can take it to the hole or shoot long range. Because he take care of home beyond just suits and Balmains. Robert Nesta Marley, you can never discredit. Died young but left a legacy of children inherit. With them in spirit, El Hajj Malik, MLK. He create fear how a black father could be here now, dead next day. Bow heads, let's pray for the fathers turn martyrs. George Washington, Carvers and Marcus. Black soil covers the carcass. Black fathers never die. They multiply like the square root to pi. Same rules apply. If you shoot shine or wear suit and tie. The line of work don't define the worth of you and I. Never saw my pops work for another man. A mentality I don't expect this world to understand. No need for faith.
That's a powerful piece. Obviously speaking to some of the issues that we're talking about here today. And we're joined today by two very powerful young leaders who have been in the space for some time doing some powerful work from the Youth Justice Network. And that is none other than Messiah Ramakasam and Patrick Edge. Messiah is no stranger to this show. He's been on here a couple of times and Patrick is new. And we're thanking both of them for joining us. Messiah and Patrick, thank you for joining us here at On the Count. How are each of you feeling this morning?
Thank you for having us. Feeling great. Happy to be here with you.
Thank you, Andre. Thank you for this platform, man. We thank you on the count. We shout out you, WBAI Radio. We thank you. We're here to do the work. We're showing up this morning.
Absolutely. And when I'm made to think about you and Messiah and Patrick, I reflect on when I was younger and I reflect on how I had been mentored by older people and they shaped my thinking in a certain way. One of those of whom is none other than one of the members of the collective here, and that is Jamel Baroudi Bellamy. And he's not with us this morning. He's with us in spirit. But I think about how our experiences as younger people are shaped sometimes by what we see and what we experience in engaging older people. And one of the things I wanted to talk about with you, Messiah and Patrick, what we wanted to share is some of the thoughts around second chance and public safety, and what does that mean for younger people? As we know, the engagement with law enforcement has not been as friendly with our younger people in many instances. But Messiah and Patrick, talk to us about the importance of public safety for the young vulnerable population, pre and post incarceration. What does that mean to each of you?
Yeah, great question. It means everything, you know, when you look at public safety as a context of its own. Oftentimes, the youth that we represent, and when I say the youth that we represent, at Youth Justice Network, we support young people ages 16 to 24, those come out of incarceration, right? So those young people are oftentimes exempt from the conversation around public safety, especially from a hierarchical lens, from a governmental lens. They are oftentimes deemed as the culprit, even though they're very much affected by the issue of public safety. You know, a lot of young people who work with us on the inside, even pre-release, are committing to positive changes in their lives. They're connecting with advocates, mentors, people from the work who are there to support them with a life plan. And they sincerely commit to that life plan. But unfortunately, upon release, they're putting back into the same poisonous neighborhoods, same poisonous communities. It doesn't support that trajectory. So, you know, they're told to go home, get the job, enroll in school, be successful, be great. But it's not that linear when you're in an environment that doesn't allow you to coexist in a peaceful way, when you have to watch your back going to and fro to school, to work, to the program. Right. So what we realize is that, you know, a more holistic approach needs to be taken, and that public safety piece just has to be very much prioritized when you talk about the wellness journey and the long term sustainability in terms of pathway for young people who are committing to positive change, coming home wanting to do the right thing, but the environment and the surrounding factors just don't align. So I think it's very important, Andre, that it's prioritized. It's not a new issue. It's something that's been ongoing. So many times you have young people who are coming home, or mothers who are afraid for the children to come home because unfortunately they feel like jail is safer than the streets, right? Which is something that's become a normalcy that should not be normal. Right. This should not be accepted as the norm or the standard in our community. So it's something that we have to be a voice for, and that we have to really affect change, because, like I said, it's an issue that's ongoing. It's not a new problem. You know, it's just something that has not been given the attention and the action that's needed.
Yeah. And Patrick, I know you want to obviously share some thoughts on that, too. You know, but Messiah, we're talking about this issue around public safety. And you mentioned it, right? Our younger people may not have access to resources in the way that they should, or the support that they need. And the goal ultimately is to support folk with becoming co-creators of public safety, right? And you do that by giving folk resources, et cetera. Patrick, talk to us a little bit about your thoughts on this issue around public safety, you know, for the young vulnerable population pre and post incarceration.
Yes, Andre, I would love to. So as my big brother, my mentor, Messiah Ramsoon, has mentioned, it's been on the back burner and things have been normalized for some time. And it's not easy being somebody that was formerly incarcerated and had to be in the inside and then have to come home and return to society and reentry and try to figure things out on your own. And then still trying to be safe at the same time, still trying to take the necessary steps and routes into changing your life. But to be very transparent with you, with somebody that lives in South Jamaica, Queens, where I'm from, the lifestyle isn't changing. People are still going to be on the block. There are people who are still going to be in your way that's going to stop you from doing what you're doing. And so public safety has to be number one priority of that. When you get into a car, Andre, you put on the seatbelt. Seatbelt is to save your life. And so it's the same way and the same steps that we order the way into changing the trajectory of our life, from somebody being incarcerated and those things that they had to go through, from them taking those steps. Public safety has to be number one in priority. It can't be on the back burner if it's going to save somebody's life. So if it's a lifesaver, then I think it should be on first and foremost, be the front of somebody's priority and be number one on the list, especially knowing that these youth come from these high-risk areas where when you tell somebody where you come from, they may traject, or the stereotype tells you where you're going in the future. But then we're trying to break those stereotypes into doing the alternative to incarcerations, the programs, the tools that we need, the people and time that people pour into these youth, especially me being a youth mentor, a credible messenger, reaching these youth, telling them that, yes, I've been in the inside, but this is a better route. If you like getting money, this is a better route this way legally. And if you like doing certain things that are to like build you and to stay out of the system, and you don't want to be into that situation anymore, then I think public safety has to be number one. That's definitely priority.
Totally. And I know that, you know, we're talking about public safety. I know Messiah and Patrick, each of you are involved in advocacy work for younger people. And particularly when it, you think about legislation, right, that supports younger people, right, there's what is called the Youth and Justice and Opportunities Act, alongside with the importance of not destroying the Raise the Age statute. Talk to us, Messiah and Patrick, about what the Youth and Justice Opportunities Act is, and also talk about why it's critically important not to destroy the Raise the Age statute.
I would definitely love to talk about that, Andre, as I am one of the members that serve on the YJNO committee. And I've just recently came from Albany advocating and lobbying, talking to certain legislators and senators and city officials, state officials. And so my voice can be heard in these spaces and areas, because oftentimes the word youth has been used as in we're the future of tomorrow. No, it's the future of today. We have to start today with these things, and we have to put them in, implement today with these things. So the Youth Justice and Opportunity Act is an opportunity that would protect the futures of the young people under the age of 26. And we're trying to enhance the number for to be at 26. Right now it's around 24 for the age, but it will enhance the community well-being and provide emerging adults the opportunity to move forward their lives without the barrier of the criminal convictions. Okay, so oftentimes in the judicial system, we're looking at, okay, this person has done a crime, but we're not looking at the trajectory. We're not peeling back the trauma that this person has been through. We're not peeling back the mental health situations that this person has been through to lead up to this case. And so oftentimes you make a mistake because the brain doesn't develop at 25 till 25 years old. And at 17, personally speaking, my mindset was totally different. What I thought was cool, what I thought was being the normal, or what should be my daily part of living or following the younger crowd instead of taking a leadership role at 17, is not what I think at 25. And so I definitely want to impact this bill that needs to be passed and advocate for it, because the Youth Justice and Opportunities Act is a second chance. Just as you said, the second chance month is of this month, and everybody deserves a second chance, but they also need to know that they deserve a first one as well.
And I would definitely want to piggyback off that, Patrick. Excellent, excellent points. And, you know, Andre, one of the things that bothers me with all of this is that young people are held accountable for conditions that were created prior to their infancy or existence, rather, and that they did not create. Right. So, you know, when we look at the inequities that they're being born into, when we look at the injustices, when we look at all of these issues that youth are being held accountable for, that they're just children aiming to survive and coexist in these spaces. So now we're telling them that, hey, you know, based on irresponsible decisions due to lack of equality, freedom, justice, right, based on these variables, and you having to be functional to provide food on the table, right, whatever the infrastructure may have been, or lack of, rather, you know, young people are being held accountable for situations and infrastructure that adults created, right, based on neglect. And so it's very much an injustice to young people, you know, when we talk about, you know, holding things against them, such as, you know, applying for jobs, applying for educational pursuits that makes their lives better. Some of them are already parents and have to provide for their children. So when we look at this, you know, we have to think about it from a lens of fairness. You know, everyone loves Malcolm X, but no one loved Detroit Red, right? But Detroit Red was the bridge to Malcolm X. That was the bridge to being a light for so many others. So I think we got to be really careful with throwing away the baby with the bathwater when we talk about young people who've made mistakes based on the American infrastructure, right? Nobody incarcerates its children more than the United States and profits and monetizes off it. So when we understand this thing to be a business, and realize it's a form of capitalism, we have to approach it from a different lens. We have to teach about it from a different lens so we can undo and dismantle the concept, the construct, the mental construct before we could even get to the physical construct, right? When we talk about mass incarceration, these things, we have to really destroy the intention to monetize off the most vulnerable assets in our society, which are young Black and brown youth. So it's important that I think we embrace the Youth Justice and Opportunities Act, because like Patrick said, we're making the scientific argument that the brain is still developing up until age 26, right? But even as young people age out after 26, we still see those lingering issues because it's intergenerational trauma that we're dealing with. Hundreds of years of trauma that's still lingering that we're expected to undo in a 6-month or 1-year program. And it's just not that linear, you know?
Right. And, you know, as we're thinking about our next segment too, and Messiah and Patrick, right, we're thinking this is also Poetry Month. In our next segment, we'll feature some powerful poets that's going to talk about some of the things that are important to them. And as we think about poetry, we think about the work of organizing as it relates to that, and we think about the need for support in our communities. Messiah and Patrick, talk to us about like the importance of the government, right, to prioritize investments in grassroots organizations, right?
Right,
who mastered the art of science and engagement and impact. And the last thing too is why is it important, right, to empower youth voices who are affected but often misunderstood?
I'm gonna answer the first part of your question first as far as government investing. You know, I think it's very essential. You know, those who are closer to the problem are closer to the solution. So when we look at community, you know, a lot of people, and I understand that we have a mayor who really believes in investing in police. And you know, a lot of these officers are not from our community, right? They don't speak the language of our community. They don't feel comfortable in our community. So quite naturally, they're going to get an uncomfortable response from community. But when you invest in those who have lived experience, those who come from the community, those who have walked with the people, those who have taken on personal commitments to really evolve and transition and grow in their own life paths and now want to bring that evolutionary journey back to the neighborhood to show tangibility and accessibility. That's where the real power lies when you talk about persuasion, right? The young person is not going to listen to the officer on the block, but he will listen to a brother like Andre Ward. He will listen to a Patrick Edge who's been there, right? So it's important that we're very strategic in how we do that. And when you talk about investment, for instance, you asked about the Raise the Age law earlier. You know, there were $250 million that were appropriated after that bill was signed off that never made its way to the grassroots organizations, right? Folks are still asking what happened to the $250 million that was appropriated for Raise the Age that never touched the grassroots organizations that folks are still inquiring about. So I think it's very important that we invest in community in that type of way, but also the young voices. Patrick is a perfect example of that. One of the things that we're very intentional about at Youth Justice Network are not just providing services to young people, but empowering young people. A lot of times, you know, folks speak on behalf of youth, but they don't give them the platforms to speak for themselves. And these young people have very much understanding and insight that us as adults can learn from that can help us better support them. So I think it's very important that we give them opportunities, not just to get a 6-month program upon coming home or to reach immediate benchmarks, but to really look at how we can tap into their voices, tap into their talents, and give them the platforms to really grow and blossom. So it's very, very essential. Patrick, I don't know if you want to touch on that.
Yes, of course. Of course, Messiah. And this is a very touching subject to me because we're advocating and we're talking about so much. And just as you mentioned, the Raise the Age, it was $270 million that has been reported, that's been put in, and that's been taken out of the publicly reported from the $250 million that they invested in. None of this money has gotten to the alternatives to incarcerations. None of this money has gotten to the programs. But these are the things that is the rehabilitation for the youth that's re-entering society with a different mindset, that's trying to change. And if you want to talk about investing, invest in people's minds, because everything is a mindset. You know, And I was saying this to somebody the other day. I said, well, if you want to look at the lens of certain things, you want to look at what the youth has been through, you want to understand somebody's mind, what they're going through. And if you think jail and incarceration, what is being normalized, incarceration is rehabilitation, then it's just not going to change. Because some people are in jail or incarcerated in their minds, the way that they think, the way that they move, the way that they do things. And so where's the rehabilitation for people's minds then, if that's what you're going to do? But investment is not only just the money. Yes, the government side has to do that, but that's where the tree and the trickle effect falls down into helping these communities, organizations, these programs that are going to help people, you know, normalize what really matters. Because what's normalized is what they see and what there's, what's in their environment. If they're around people that do drugs all day, they're going to pick up drugs. If they're around violence all day, they're going to pick up violence. So if somebody comes in there and they show them a different route and invest in their future and tell them that they're worthy of something, they tell them that there's another way, that you don't have to do this anymore. Like if you're taking some, if you're taking a gun out of somebody's hand, it's been reported, you have to put something in it. And so it's the same thing in the investment of the government. And these things are very essential, because it wouldn't be for the, it wouldn't be right for them to push certain things and then not fund it, because it's just contradicting themselves. It makes no sense. It's a waste of time, and time is valuable. Especially, we know in the incarceration system, time is very valuable to certain people. And that's what they try to get back when people come home. They try to remake time, and they try to make up the time that they miss. But what they do forward from that is what they need to do is take into these programs, take into these opportunities, and make ways for themselves. Yeah, I messed up, but how am I going to come back from that? And what we want to do is really touch on the trauma part. It's a lot of trauma and mental health things that's happening to people, but we also want to make that trauma turn into triumph. So definitely the government is definitely priority on this investment thing, and they need to start funding these programs. So it would be the Youth Justice Networks. It would be the Youth Represents. It would be these organizations and communities that would keep these people away from doing the normal that they see every day.
Totally. And thanks so much for that, Patrick and Messiah. And Messiah, how can folk get involved and get in contact? And we will certainly have you and others back on, but how can folk get in contact, get involved with you all?
Man, they could reach out to us. Our website is youthjustice.org, youthjustice.org. You could also follow our Instagram, youthjustice_network. And yeah, I would say, you know, we're very much reachable. We're headquartered in Harlem. Our hub is on 125th Street in Harlem. We also have offices in Brooklyn, Bronx, but we're citywide, all five boroughs. So, you know, you could definitely go to the website or the Instagram and reach out to us. I myself, you can reach me directly at mramkisoon@youthjustice.org. And yeah, I love to build. We're definitely in the spirit of community, because that's what our young people need. We got to bring back the village, man. You know, we got to bring back the village of accountability and support for our youth. So definitely would love to build with anybody out there who wants to be a part of the movement, who has their own movement and wants to build in the spirit of collaboration.
Messiah, Patrick, Youth Justice Network, thanks so much for joining us here at On the Count, and we'll certainly have you all back on soon.
Thank you for having us, Andre, and thank you for what you're doing, man, giving this platform to community to really be the voice, man. We appreciate this. This space is needed.
Totally.
Andre, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Sure. You're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI. This radio show is called On the Count, the Prison and Criminal Legal System Reform Report. My name is Andre Ward. I'm joined by Harmony and Madi Jamel, our other host our other host is not with us this morning, but certainly with us in spirit. And so we're going to transition now to our poets. Before we do, however, we're asked to play a brief little clip, as we just were speaking with our youth. We'll play a brief clip, then we'll transition right into our poets. Don't you go anywhere. Everything around me, green, get the money, dollar bill, y'all. 22 more hard years, I'm still struggling. Survival got me bugging. And it's a little low, the noise, the sound in the back. You may want to turn a little bit. Yeah. Stay awake to the ways of the world. Deep. A man with a dream with plans to make dreams fail. I went to jail at the age of 15. A young buck selling drugs and stuff. Who never had much. Trying to get a clutch on what I could not touch. To poor place when I face incarceration. Facing, throwing up stakes, my destination. Handcuffed in back of a bus, 40 of us. Life as a shorty shouldn't be so rough. But as the world turned, I learned life is hell. Living in the world no different from a cell. Every day I skate from takes, giving chase, selling bass, smoking bones in the staircase. Though I don't know why I chose to smoke cess. I guess that's the time when I'm not depressed, but I'm still depressed. And I ask, what's it worth? Ready to give up, so I seek the old earth. Who explain working hard may help you maintain. To learn to overcome the heartaches and pain. We got stick up kids, corrupt cops, and crack rocks. All on a block that stays hot. Leave it up to me while I be living proof. To kick the truth to the young black youth. We shorties running wild, smoking cess, drinking beer. And ain't trying to hear what I'm kicking in his ear. Neglected for now, but yo, it got to be accepted. That what? The life is hectic. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill. Thank you for playing that. That song is adopted from Wu-Tang Clan. A song that had been very popular in the early 90s called Cream. Cash rules everything around me. And in that song, the Wu-Tang Clan talks about the conditions of their community, conditions of their environment. And equally as important, how that impacts younger people. And that clip spoke to how younger people are ushered into jail buses and brought upstate to prison and ultimately sentenced. So now we're going to transition to our poets. And we have a few of them that are joining us today, Mario and others. Mario, how are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling great. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. So we're going to jump right into it. And I know that you have a few people that have joined you, and we'll start off with one of your poems, and then we'll go around to others, Mario. So we'll start with you.
Okay.
And why is this radio station so important?
Okay, well, this radio station is important as we advocate for ourselves and our community of incarcerated people and reentry and alternatives to incarceration. I was getting the message out there. I'm the creatives art coordinator for the Fortune Society. I'm a poet, and I have three other members of my community that are with me here today. And I'll get right into it. This first poem is called Unbroken. Look, y'all, a petty street kid. I made it to the feds now. Big league. Nah, not really what it's cracked up to be. More lost souls than ones that was once prosperous. Locked in a basement somewhere. Shoe program in my Denzel voice. Because every day is training day, push up stomach and legs. Where you either lose your mind or pick up a book and start teaching yourself. I'm beating myself alone, sparring in a mirror, you see. I don't want nobody observing because I don't want nobody scared of me. Just preparing, get home, get ready for World War III. Days passing, I'm fasting, practicing discipline, fighting hunger pains. Or is it because my funds is low in this bungalow? I can't sleep. Wake me up from this nightmare. Humbler now. I want peace, but I gotta fight here. Talk about dark clouds, hearts drown. Because the rain don't stop here. See, they tried to break you, turn a boss into a lane. Now they really gonna hate you when you turn that loss into a gain. So no matter the stagnation, take your time and add patience and make sure you earn and learn something in every situation. That's Unbroken.
For that, Mario. And who is the next person that we're going to be passing it to? I know this is your first time on the show, Mario. Who's the next person?
We'll be passing it to Daniel Kelly. That's my colleague at Fortune Society.
Thank you, Mario.
Yes.
My name is Daniel Kelly. I'm the arts and literacy advocate with the Fortune Society. I'm humbled and very, very honored to be here with you, Andre Ward, and WBAI. So if I may, the name of my submission is Say Less. Consider the value of your words. Are they strewn about like slop for the pigs, carelessly cast aside like twigs? Birds build nests from your garbage, so it only makes sense that your litter is now formally known as Twitter, a monetized medium through which you can say a mouthful. See, there's tech talk, politically correct talk, the Miranda moment that reminds you that you have the right to STFU and don't talk. Talking heads, talking points, spin doctors and such. And did anyone ever tell you that you talk too much? Designate distance between the brain and open air. Allow for what you were gonna blurt out, the space to breathe, refocus, and be aware. Thank you for letting me share, guys.
Thank you. And Daniel, who do we have next?
Let's go to Helen Taylor.
Good morning, everyone. I am so grateful to be here this morning. I could remember when I was behind the wall, this was my dream, to be on the count. Because when I was there, Andre, you guys, you, Harmony, y'all gave me so much hope. And today I'm carrying it out. And so please keep WBAI going. We need it in and out. We lost a brother this week, one of our poets, real strong young brother by the name of Ryan Bluestone. And this morning I choose to read one of his poems. Poetry is blank and full of everything. Poetry holds back and exposes everything. Poetry helped me be a human for free. The physical world is very restrictive. A lot more listen as what who can't do versus thin thighs of those who get through to the other side. Where you assume inside won't drown in tears. As higher earnings replace feelings divine, poetry or creative writing, freestyle, autopilots. Through many drafts, rewrites new eyes for new eyes. I develop a craft. Poetry for me is a reality check. It helped me say what I'm unable to scream. I found happiness. No signs of beware. A family of writers, poets, best of the best to me. Commentators, improvs, acting team, dancers, actors, listen to me. This is my paradise. Through poetry, I found excitement to share, to think, to be where there's no fear, striving to win. From customers to bartenders, what do you drink? Thank you, Ryan Bluestone.
Yes, in memory of Brian, and thank you for sharing that, Helen. Who else do we have with us?
We have Tanel Gaskin.
Hello, everyone. Thank you. I'm Tanel Gaskin. I also go by the Taiwanista. I'm a poet and a spiritual advisor. Thank you, WBAI, for having me. And thank you for Mario. Thank you, Mario, for thinking of me. I'm going to recite a poem today about peace. Hey, old friend, I remember you. Now that I've been hanging out with healing, I need you. Times two. The boundaries you put in place for me supersedes you. But sometimes you seem so unattainable. When you're around, excitement takes a different avenue. I've been using more discernment these days. I'm the prize. This remains true. I realize it means giving up certain types of company in order to keep you. Comparing and contrasting lately is all that I do. What's familiar feels unserene. Sometimes meeting new people makes me feel like I'm in a machine, activating my PTSD. It only makes me miss you more because with you, I feel seen. You dub me as a goddess, far from an empress or queen. You force me not to settle, keep my mind clear, walk by faith, put death to self-loathing, and reassure me to do it in fear. But when you're near, sometimes I jeer. The uncomfortability of change sets in. Then it's clear. You don't get in where you fit in or stay where you're welcome. You go only where space is made for you and where your absence is felt. You're easy to lose and hard to maintain. When you're in spaces of self-sabotage and shifting blame. Hello, old friend. I remember you. Now that I've been hanging out with healing, I need you. Times two. Oh, my peace. Peace of mind, peace of presence, and boundaries. You're wrapped around me like an heirloom quilt. You found me. Hey, old friend. Let's never part ways again. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And we'll close out with Mario. And yes. Then I see Darlene George has joined us, and Harmony and Madi are here to introduce Darlene. But Mario, close us out with your poem, and we thank you all so much for joining us, and we'll have you all back again.
Yeah, thank you, WBAI, and to all the brothers and sisters behind the wall. When you come home, we have a beautiful art community at the Fortress Society. You come and utilize our services. I said, good morning from a prison window. I awoke today, always a good start. I lay in my bed looking out the window at a serene sky. It's still dark and the moon is full. The moon disappears completely in the clouds. And once the clouds clear, the moon glows. The sky is a dark blue. I would need a big crayon box with labels to know the precise color. The moon is a yellowish white, like a light. The clouds start to smother the moon again. I say smother because when the clouds go into the light, they're a dark gray. It looks like the smoke that comes from the top of a factory building in a city when you pass by it on a highway. How could something so polluted look exactly like something so beautiful? The moon survives the smothering as the clouds pass by again. I thought I seen a big star close to the moon, and stars seem to be so rare nowadays. But as I move in my bed, I notice it was just a speck in the window. Amazed me how the speck shine just like a star. Again, how could something so dirty look so purty? 2 feet below the moon, the clouds and the speck stood the top of the trees. I meditated on how these things could be so far from one another. But from my outlook, so close in the same picture. The wind started to sing through the window cracks as the sun danced his way in. I seen the sun and the moon together in the sky like lovers passing by. Even though the bars in the window try to ruin the marvelous view, even though I wouldn't leave the cell to get a good whiff of it, I knew today would be a good day as I realized how precious life truly is. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having us, WBAI.
Thank you for that, Mario. That was beautiful. And to Danielle, Helen, and the Tarnista, thank you so much. We appreciate that art through poetry. And thank you, Fortune, for allowing that spoken word to be done. We also have Darlene Georges with us today. And we say thank you to the women who are currently incarcerated in Maine, listening to Darlene's piece that she's going to offer, but moreover, her supervisor, who is on the outside as Darlene is the grant manager at one of the facilities in Maine Correctional Facility. Thank you, Robin Winslow, for also lifting up the women who are inside and allowing them to have a job and be their supervisor. We appreciate you. Darlene, over to you.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me this morning on this wonderful radio station. And Harmony, we appreciate all the work you do with us on Tuesdays and all the programming and Beyond the Bars. It was awesome. So we appreciate you and the radio station. The piece that I'm going to read from our anthology that was brought to Beyond the Bars is called As I Sit. As I sit, so lonely and far from home, lost in my thoughts, not knowing where to turn, I ask myself, what happened to me? At one point, I had it all. Instead, shattered by choices that led to bars and chains. I feel every bit of hurt and sadness flowing through my heart and my veins. In darkness and in light, stuck is how I feel. All this built up without knowing how to deal. So much hidden pain tucked deep down inside. Wanted to scream, but I have my pride. Nothing but hills and valleys, never a rest. Always a new experience and a new test. I'd sometimes see, but don't want to see. Where am I going? Who knows? Almost up. Wait a minute. Something just grabbed me and pulled me back. Oh yeah, reality check. I sit so lonely without knowing which direction. Tired and drained. When does it end? My appetite for freedom. I'm starving. Give me a plate. Let's see how hungry I am. As I live for new and all I have is images, and is a tarnished dream deferred. How much more can I take? But yet here I sit, still waiting for that date. Thank you for allowing me to read that piece for our anthology, Harmony.
Thank you so much for that, Darlene. We continue to support you and the other women who are currently incarcerated in Maine correctional facilities. We won't stop fighting until we win the freedom of both Darlene, the other women in Maine, and all who are behind the walls this morning. This, you're listening to WBAI 99.5, where we fight for freedom. We continue to do that each and every day. We appreciate all of our guests, all of your offerings, all of our learning from our youth this morning. And we just appreciate all the work that has been done on this particular show. And if you'd like to help us with this journey, please go to WBAI.org, tell them that On the Count sent you, and support by your special means. We know that this particular show has touched your heart, and we will continue to make sure that we bring you all of the information and the heartfelt thoughts of those who are fighting for their freedom, both inside and out. And as we close on this day, as we always close in tradition, don't give in, don't give out, don't give up. Stand tall in spite of it all, and stay on the count. We appreciate you. Have a great day.
You can have all the money in your hands, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worthless treasure. True worth is only measured not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have, you can have everything, but what does it mean? It all means nothing if you don't stand up for something. You can't just talk the talk, you got to walk that walk. Yes, you do. Stand up.
do the best that you can do. Then you can look in the mirror, proud of who's looking back at you. Define the life you're living, not by what you take but what you're giving. And if you bet on love, there's no way you'll ever lose. Take a stand, make a stand.
Just to take a stand, the greater plan's the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out in touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like his native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man.
WBAI listeners and supporters.
If you appreciate interacting with members of the WBAI local station board, tune in Tuesday, April 23rd
from 7 p.m.
to 8 p.m. for the first report of 2024
from the WBAI local station board.
This month, you'll be introduced to some of the LSB officers and the PNB directors.
They'll talk about their responsibilities, recent developments throughout the network, and ask you for your ideas on how to build a stronger WBAI.
Don't let this opportunity pass you by.
So mark that date on your calendar.
Tuesday, April 23rd, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. for the first report of 2024 from the WBAI local station board.
Only on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming live at WBAI.org.
Join us for Earth Day and promote world peace and unity at Planet Heart's 16th Annual World Peace Earth Day Celebration, themed Awakening Humanity's Consciousness for a Better Planet. It's a spiritual community gathering honoring Mother Earth, featuring insightful talks, uplifting music, sound healing, indigenous ceremonies, and more. That's Sunday, April 21st, 3 p.m. sharp to 6:30 p.m. at the Church of the Village, 201 West 13th Street in New York City. For tickets and info, visit www.planetheart.org or call 212-222-5432. That's 212-222-5432.
The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will take place on Sunday, April 21st at 1 p.m. The call-in number is 619-309-1058. The PIN number is 641-711. All are welcome. The Community Advisory Board gives WBAI's supporting community an opportunity to express ideas, concerns, and additional ways to keep this great station alive. Again, the next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will take place on Sunday, April 21st at 1 p.m. The call-in number is 619-309-1058. And the PIN number is 641-711. Thank you.
On Wednesday, April 24, 2024, veteran Black Panther, distinguished author, award-winning radio journalist, and U.S.-held political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal of Philadelphia turned 70 years old in his 42nd year in prison. the Free Mumia Abu-Jamal Coalition plans to be in Philadelphia to demand his release, marking 70 years of resistance in the city of so-called brotherly love, Philadelphia. For bus tickets and details, go to freemumia.com. That's freemumia.com or call our hotline 212-330-8029. That's